talk about, you know, it's all about the kids, but how much, you can't lie about this, right? How much does that 300th win kind of weigh in on that decision? Are you lying that, or it really has nothing to do with any of this?
Well, I'd be lying to you if I told you that winning 300 football games is important. Winning 299 is important. Winning the first one was important. You know, if you're lining up, you know, and it's, you want to win. I mean, you know, who wants to do all this work and not win? You know, but at the same time, the fact is, the only thing that I thought about is, and this was before cancer came on the scene, was, you know, the timing might be, the message might be better. And, Lord, if it's what you want to do, let's do it. To make sure that it's not all about winning 300, is to go ahead. And in fact is, you know, I had a major decision to make back early. Had a major job offer at another place. And I thought about that a whole lot. You know, is this about 300? And I had to ask myself that question. If this is all about 300, I'm missing it. And I don't think I'll stand before the Lord one of these days, you know, and he'll say, Ken, 299 or 300, you know. I think what he's going to ask me is what I did with these kids and was I faithful to him. And that's my goal, and that's what I want to do. Good question. Thank you.
Is there a reason that you kind of waited a few weeks to – make it public?
Well, I just got the results back last week.
Not even talking about originally.
Oh, originally.
Yeah.
Well, it happened so fast. I mean, I went and got a routine physical, and 5 days later, I'm in major surgery. And I got bone scan. I got every scan known to man. In fact, is somebody around in some of these hospitals knows everything about me inside. That's kind of scary, you know what I mean? But I've had it just happened so fast that I didn't have time to do much with it. And I didn't even tell my coaching staff at first, because I didn't want to bother them. I didn't want to trouble them with it. I thought it was something that I needed to deal with without having to bother a whole lot of people with it and bringing some concerns into it that I didn't think belonged into it, you know. So that's the reason I approached it like it did. Fact is, I finally, because I had some kids that was noticing, you know, and they didn't know that summer workouts, I can't be at them anyway, and they were wondering where I was, so they started asking questions, and then they probably, when they saw me, moving around a little bit slower than normally I was moving around. So and I was usually in the weight room. They didn't see me in the weight room. So it's probably all those things added into it. And I just didn't think that it was important to say a whole lot about it. Didn't have a whole lot of time to do much with it, you know, until. And when you get, when you have surgery, the first two or three days after surgery, you certainly don't want to sit around and philosophize a whole lot, you know. So you're trying to keep from passing out when you get up, you know, those kinds of things. So no, it was fine. But that's the reason.
This is kind of repetitive as far as for everybody, but as far as getting early detection and tests like that, and obviously it's a wake up call for you. But what do you think it is with people that they just are kind of in denial and think that they're healthy so they don't get tested? What do you think it is? Because obviously you went through that.
Well, I think it's the idea that we're going to live forever. It's the idea that, you know, other people get sick, but I don't. Or, you know, or there may be, like you said, there may be some denial there that we just don't want to face up, that we got some, that we do have some limitations, you know. Us men don't like to admit we got limitations. And I'll be honest with you, can I just tell you the reason it took me 6 or 7 years between the physical, I'm really not that hard-headed, except I promised my doctor, my general doctor, he said, Ken, this is a great physical. See, I was having physicals regular. He said, you've had a great physical, but I want you to go get, at your age, I want you to go get a colonoscopy. you know, and I want you to go get a heart deal, you know, a major heart check. Well, I got the heart check done pretty quick, and I went to the hospital to get the colonoscopy. You know, drunk all that good stuff and went through that whole routine and having a joyous time. And go to the hospital to get the colonoscopy. And they come in there as I was getting prepared. They come in there and said, Coach, we've had an emergency. The doctor's not going to be here for a couple of hours. Well, I had recruits waiting on me over here. And so I got up out of the hospital and came back over here. And so it took me that long then to get the colonoscopy because I didn't, you know, who if you're going to drink juice, you want joy juice. You don't want that kind of juice. And so, you know, so I put it off. And then 1 year goes to the second year, goes to the third year. And then I finally had a colonoscopy. So I was free then not to break a promise to my doctor and go back and get a physical. And that's how all that happened. So that's the reason it took so long. And so by the time I got the second colonoscopy, or went to get the second colonoscopy, to go get a colonoscopy, the second trip to the hospital, it'd been several years. And so I couldn't face my doctor because I hadn't done what he told me to do. So, hey, like that excuse.
were they at least good players? Yeah. Good players out there. Did they come here, or did you lose out on those guys?
Well, you know, it was funny. I don't think we recruited any of them.
Blame the first doctor now. It was his fault for the emergency.
Yeah.
He left you hanging.
That's right.
Let me ask you, you obviously said you didn't have any questions. You were going to come back. Did your bosses have questions and concerns that you were going to come back, that people above you, the president of the university, the athletic director, did they have concerns of you coming back?
I never saw anything but support from them. I never saw any questions in their mind. I don't think they... They know I'm, you know, I'll probably keep going until I think, you know, that the Lord don't mean for me to be here, and then I'll quit. So, I don't know. You'll have to ask them that question. I don't know. Alan's in here. You can ask Alan. You know, so.
I would say from absolutely, but as far as the point of view in mind, there was absolutely no question. Coach Sparks was our coach. Is our coach and will continue to be our coach. And as I said in our initial press release, our prayer is, and we have every confidence, that Coach is going to be completely and 100% secure and well to go, and we expect him to be here for years to come. And so there's never, ever was the first question in either of our minds that Ken Sparks is and was going to be our football coach.
David, does that mean I can ask for a raise? Is that what you think that means?
Do you ever feel, you know, so many years, so much success here, and just like your days are kind of numbered, or do you ever even think, you know, man, it's coming to an end close? And maybe not for 10 years, but you know what I'm saying? Do you ever think about that at all?
Well, only when you have 5 and 6 seasons like we had last year, which is the first losing season we've had. I'll be honest with you, I wondered exactly what the Lord was up to on that one because, you know, when you have last ball game, we're standing there with 20 injured players not being able to play and 12 of them projected starters, and we're standing there like that. You kind of wonder, you know, Lord, I know you're smarter than I am, but let me in on a little bit of this, you know, so I can understand it a little bit better. But, you know, no, I'm – you know, we have a sovereign God that's got all the answers we're looking for, and all we got to do is trust him. You know, it's when I start negotiating with a sovereign almighty God that knows everything, that's got all power in his hands, that loves me enough to send his son to die for me, then who am I, you know, to be on that level? And I just one day at a time, I just want to – I tell you what I have learned, and I know everybody don't understand what I'm saying here, but I found out this. I don't love the Lord near as much as I need to. And that was pretty, you know, when you get my age, you are not have to say that. But I don't love the Lord near as much as I need to. And so, you know, that's another thing that I'm working on. And I want to get well. Physically, but I want to get well spiritually better than I am now. So it's been a good challenge for me.
Was this maybe one of the most humbling, I guess you could say, experiences just with the response that you have gotten from, you know, the community and your fellow colleagues?
Oh, it has. Whoever thought that an old football coach would have as many people encouraging him as I have? It's been amazing, and and I can make a lot of money for Carson Newman as soon as you have your prostate taken out. A lot of strange things happen, and I think Dr. Morgan is working on a contract with Pampers right now, I'm joking. And if y'all put that on TV, I'll deny every bit of it.
Coach, last year one of your longtime friends, Carl Forbush, went through pretty much the same thing. Did he give you any advice, or have you all talked about it?
Yeah. Yeah, we have. About two or three weeks after I'd had the surgery, Carl came by and we had a good conversation, and he did. He went through a lot of the same stuff. At my point, I was, they've got a thing called a Gleason chart for prostate cancer, and it's a 1 to 10, 10 being the worst and aggressive, the most aggressive. Mine was a 9, and so. Carl didn't have to do the radiation thing or any of that. Dan Redding, one of our coaches, had the same thing. He's about 7 or 8 months out. Carl's about a year out right now, post-operative. And we've compared notes, and it's been good to have them kind of mentoring me a little bit about some of the things that I'm going through right now that aren't the most fun thing in the world for a man to deal with. They keep assuring me that it's going to get better, so I'm hanging in there.
Medical question, though. From my understanding, I thought that cancer goes like stage 4 is the worst. So prostate cancer, was it just like a number system, or?
No, it's a different thing. The prostate is called a Gleason chart.
Oh, okay.
And a Gleason chart is based on the aggressiveness of the cancer and what stage it's in. And so when Dr. Ramsey did the biopsy, he immediately said, I think in the next day I was in surgery. That's how bad it was. And so he knew that the timing of it and the critical of it was pretty, but it was a 9. That scales a 0 to 10 or 1 to 10, and mine was a 9. So very aggressive cancer. So.
Are you concerned about the physical toll of starting the season so soon after you've been all through all this stuff? Are you looking forward to getting distracted and everybody reporting and getting the work started?
Well, it's one day at a time. I don't worry about that too much. When you get out there and get a whistle around your neck, you become something different than you were anyway. You get so excited about it and get fired up about it. I'm leaving this Friday with 15 football players going to Virginia Beach for the Seals. And, for me to go work out with the Seals, I'll find out real quick if I can hang or not. But we're doing community service stuff in Virginia Beach with the church and with some other things, and then we are going to spend some time with the Seals. So I'll let you know. We're supposed to get back Monday night. I'll let you know Monday night if I can hang or not. I may be a wimp. I may find out I'm a wimp by then. So –